Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this time to gather together to worship you. And we ask, Lord, that as you speak to us, we would hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Jill had just had her knee replaced. And I was with her husband and her daughter as she was wheeled out of the recovery room and into her hospital room. The nurses had gone in and set up the bed, set her up with all of the appropriate lines to monitor her and lines for comfort measure. Over the next few days, as her husband and daughter and I entered into the room, we said hi and we stopped for a moment to say a simple prayer of thanks to God for all that God had done and in helping the surgeons and the hospital, and to also ask God to help her to recover her strength. Over the next 20 minutes, as we visited with the family, Jill began to speak of an increasing amount of pain she was feeling in her knee. We told the nurse if she could come in and check her out. She did, and she told Jill about the pain pump and to pump it, and that would help her. Well, the pain continued, and so I offered up another prayer, specifically asking God, who can cure the lame and cause the blind to see, to bring relief to her knee. We opened our eyes, and I'm not kidding you. Within seconds, I saw a movement out of the corner of my eye. And then I turned my eye toward where that movement was, and I just waited, and then there was another drop. A drip coming from the pain pump. We called the nurse back in. She examined the pain pump and found that the hose was not connected. Of course, the nurse reconnected the line, and with another push of the button, Jill was beginning to receive the pain medication, which would then help her pain to subside. Now, some people might call that a coincidence in how the pain medication was seen only after prayer, but I call it a God incident. We had been there a good 20 minutes, and I'm sure everyone had looked at that pain pump at one time or another. The nurses had set her up, had already been there once before. Now, potentially without prayer, I have to admit this, without prayer, somebody would have finally said something. The nurses would have come in for the third time and noticed that the pain pump wasn't hooked up. But it was after we prayed again, after we asked God to help Jill about the pain she was experiencing, that the problem was located. Really, it was God pointing out the problem as a result of prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but that was certainly an up moment for me in regard to prayer. If you remain in me, Jesus says, and I remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus tells us this in Matthew, read it with me. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. So when we pray, we should pray expectantly. When we knock on heaven's door, we should know that God is listening and seeking to give us good gifts to those who seek him diligently. Listen, Jesus goes on after this verse and says this, read it with me. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I think it's important to remember, to always keep in mind how God desires to give us good gifts. I hope it's clear in the scriptures that we have to engage with God, remain in God, seek God, knock on heaven's door, ask God specifically for what it is that we desire. I hope that's clear. For me, this type of prayer is one of the upsides. When we engage with God, when we remain in God, when we seek God, when we ask God for what we desire. That's an upside to prayer. For without being intentional on our part, even though God desires to give us good gifts, without intentionally being present with God, and I mean developing a regular place, developing a regular time where you can meet with God alone, we're going to miss out on a lot of the upside of prayer. When we remain with God in this way, oh, the upside of prayer is limitless. The intimacy with God grows. We really begin to know the heart of God and experience the power of answered prayer. Don't you want that? Don't you desire that? I know I do. But Pastor, what about the many times I feel that God doesn't answer me or give me what I desire? This is what I would call the downside of prayer. Remember, prayer is not about downloading our wants and needs to God. Prayer should be about spending time with God, intimate time with God where we're at, where we worship God and adore God, where we reflect on our lives and confess to God the things that we have done that have been in disobedience to His will, or things that we have done that have harmed another, where we ask God and receive from God forgiveness. Prayer is where we remember to thank God for all that He has done for us, for all that He has created for us. And then where we pray for the needs of others. And then where we lift up our own needs, our own wants, our own desires, as they line up with the will of God. Truly, that is an upside. But when God does seem absent or doesn't answer our prayers as we'd hope, when we're experiencing what we call the downside of prayer, then we need to turn the examining light onto ourselves. I think it comes down to two questions that we need to ask. One, what is my motive for this particular prayer request? What is my motive for this particular prayer request? And two, who will receive the glory for answered prayer? Who will receive the glory for answered prayer? In our book, Bill Hybels gives a checklist that he was given. It says, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. I love this. I thought this was really cool. The first box forces us to look at our requests of God. The request is wrong, God says no. Let's admit there are times when we request something from God that's just plain wrong. Oftentimes all we need to do is look at our motive. God, let me win the lotto and I'll give you more than a tithe, 10%. And it'll go to the work of your kingdom. In fact, God, I will give you a tithe plus 2%. 2%. How's that, God? We can see how this is really a self-serving prayer, right? That the motive is wrong. Now we can chuckle at it and see the absurdity of knowing that God's not going to answer this kind of a prayer. Sure, no problem. We understand that. We should really give God 90% and only ask God to let us live off the 10%. God should surely answer that prayer, right? Sure, no problem. But more in line with what we might truly ask God on any given day is this. God, you know the situation I'm in with this other person. Could you please change them? We pray this because we think we're right. And we don't want to look at ourselves too closely as God might ask us. to change. Here's some questions to ask in regard to personal requests of God. Read the first one. Does it bring glory to God? The second one. Does it advance God's kingdom work? Third one. Does it help other people? Fourth. Does it help me to grow spiritually? These questions really force us to look at our motives for prayer requests when we send them to God, don't they? They force us to look at ourselves and help us to really purify our thinking, purify our lives, and purify our requests to God. When we find ourselves praying pridefully or selfishly, we're going to answer one or more of those questions, no. It doesn't bring glory to God. No, it doesn't advance God's kingdom work. No, it doesn't help anyone else. No, it doesn't help me to grow spiritually. If you get a no to any one of those questions, how do you think God's going to answer that? When we find ourselves praying pridefully or selfishly and then ask God, then ask the Lord to forgive you when you find that you're getting no questions or no answers. And then ask God to help you to line your prayer up more in line with His will. When God called me into ministry, at one point I said to God, God, I'll be the best committed layperson the church has ever seen. No one will be able to do the things that I can do because I will be committed to the core. I would still bring glory to God. I could still advance God's kingdom work. I would still be helping other people. And I would still be able to grow spiritually. That's it, God. But what I found is, although the first three answers were yeses, I was able to do those things on this list because I knowingly wasn't following God's will for my life. I found my spiritual life was suffering. My prayer life wasn't as intimate with God as it had. And even while I was helping other people to grow in their spiritual lives, I found myself seeing my spiritual life. In fact, I found a chasm growing between me and God because I was not in God's will for my life. Friends, we must be willing to be honest with ourselves and pray requests to God that line up with God's will. If you remain in me and I remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Sometimes we don't get the answer from God because of timing. If the timing is wrong, God says, slow. For one reason or another, the motive is right, but God may be saying, not yet, my child. It could be to test our faith. It could be to build our trust in God. It could be that God is trying to develop some character in us. Or maybe it could be that our request, although proper, needs to be modified. We must remember that God is God and that we are not. And that we may never completely understand why God says slow, or we should be able to understand why God says no, I think, but why God says slow or not yet. And then sometimes we don't get an answer from God. If you are wrong, God says grow. Sometimes there is simply something wrong in our lives that is separating us from God. It could be that we are really leading prayerless lives. We spend no time with God outside of church on a Sunday morning, and then we expect God to show up when we want Him. Or maybe there's disobedience to God in our lives that we are not willing to deal with, and disobedience does have a tendency to do this. Again, God was asking me to do something, and I said no, and there was a consequence to it. Or maybe there's some unresolved relational conflicts in your life. God reminds us through John, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. so anger or hatred toward another can affect our prayer lives. Maybe we say to God, God, I want to live above the fray of life. And we intentionally ignore the cry of the needy, the homeless, the orphan, the widow. We choose to not get involved in the lives of the helpless. It separates us from God, whether it's actions we take in our daily lives or inaction through our involvement through God's church. That creates separation. And God wants us to grow in these areas. And that may be why sometimes our prayers go unanswered. Finally, if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says, go. Pray on and keep on praying. You remember, Jesus tells the disciple a parable to remind them to be persistent in prayer. Keep praying, even when they're unsure what God is doing. The parable was about a woman who came to a judge with the plea, grant me justice. Grant me justice against my adversary. The judge didn't seem to care, but look what happened when she persisted. Read it with me. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice. Again, Jesus shares this parable for the express purpose to show the disciples that they should be persistent in prayer and not give up. Even though I had already prayed with Jill for her recovery, I wondered as her pain increased if I should pray again. I felt this inner prompting not just to pray silently, which was what I was doing, but to pray with the family gathered there. I finally listened and we offered prayer again, and I want you to know that God got the glory for this answer. It was all about God showing up. It was all about God being there. God. It was all about God. 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 If there's one thing that I've learned about prayer through the years, it's not about me receiving any credit. It's all about God receiving the glory that's due His name. When people pray looking to boast or looking to boost their own image or to get ahead, then they're praying with wrong motives. You can pray and pray and not give up, as Jesus tells the disciple and us today. But if our motive is wrong, if we pray for selfish reasons, if there's unresolved sin in our life, then don't expect a yes from God. It's as simple as that. But it is the persistence of spending time with God, time in prayer, I believe, where God will help us to know our motives, to help us to draw closer to God, to rid our lives of disobedience, to rid our lives of sin or hatred, and to become more holy like Jesus is holy, the name above all names. And when we remain with Him, then we can ask whatever we wish, and it will be done for us. In reading through a book on prayer, I came across this statement. Read it with me. God's power flows primarily through people who pray. Friends, there are going to be the upside and the downside of prayer, the ebb and flow in our lives. And it happens because we're human. Not because of God. So let us not be afraid. Seek to draw near to the heart of God this week by making sure you have carved out some time, intentionally carved out a place where you can meet with God, where you can be in His Word and talk to God about your day, where you can reflect on who you are and the actions that you have taken. And ask for forgiveness for those things that have separated you from God or separated you from others. Where you can be thankful to God for all that He has done. Slow down. What does it say? Slow down and count the roses. Right? Smell the roses. But slow down. Slow down and begin to count the answers to prayer. And as you do, God, who is faithful and just, will hear our prayers and answer our prayers. will become more holy. Our prayers will become more powerful. And most of all, God will be glorified. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. God, you alone deserve all glory and praise, and we ask in Jesus' name that you would stir our hearts to draw nearer to you. God, that you would cause us to look for those places, that time in our lives where we can spend it with you and you alone, uninterrupted, unhurried, and unafraid. God, draw us closer to yourself. Help us to be more like Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say.